Circumstances have changed a lot for us all during this past few days. And as members of the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, already we are greatly missing the opportunity to come together each week for fellowship. But I am reminded of the words of the hymn that tell us, though sundered far by faith we meet, around one common mercy seat. And that's what we intend to continue to do. We do speak now, especially to members of, I believe, Free Presbyterian Church, and indeed any others who are listening, and we encourage you to every Tuesday evening give the time between 8:30 and 9:30 to seeking the Lord in prayer, something that we were used to doing collectively, but now we're doing it in our own homes. If you remember as well, every day to at approximately 12 noon to lift your heart to the Lord in prayer regarding the situation that we're facing at this time. I just wanted to remind everyone of a notice from our presbytery. There is a request that our congregations would set aside from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. this coming Sunday, 29th of March, to seek the Lord in prayer, that we would pray that he would come and revive his people as we repent of our sin, and as far as we can, make sure that our hearts are right with him. Also to pray that during this pandemic and the time of crisis, that the Lord would be pleased to draw souls to himself. We also want to earnestly pray that he would prevent this coronavirus from causing the destruction and the death here in Northern Ireland that we know it can do and that it is doing in other nations at this time. I also want to remind each one that, God willing, each Lord's Day we will be uploading two new sermons to Sermon Audio. And hopefully we will be uploading a webcam message like this one on our Ackley Free Presbyterian Church webpage on a Tuesday evening. And the purpose of that will be to read a verse or verses with you and then to leave with you some considerations, and then to ask you to go and pray over that, and hopefully what we do will be of help to all who listen and who do that. Now this evening we're turning your attention to the book of Daniel and chapter 4. We'd like you to turn there. I'll give you a second or two just to do that. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, we read these amazing words from Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We would like you to read this entire chapter at home in your own time and to give time to studying it out. We have in this chapter 4 in Numbers, Nebuchadnezzar recalling something of the Lord's dealing with him and how he was before the Lord stepped into his life. In chapter 4 and verse 3, we see that he was settled. It says here how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. But in the verse after that, he goes on to say, Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. This man seemed to have enough without the Lord, as far as material things were concerned and earthly comfort was concerned. But we have him not only settled like so many seem to be today, we see him then shaken. He says, I saw a dream which made me afraid. And as you read carefully on down through those verses, you will see that at one moment this man seemed to be almost self-sufficient. But now the Lord is speaking to him. If you look in verse 8, you will see that he is saying, he says, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream. We have Nebuchadnezzar settled and unconcerned, and then we have him shaken. But here we have him seeing, because he has noticed the holiness about Daniel. And Christian, that is something that people will notice in these days as they observe the Christian behavior, even during this time of national crisis. They will look at us and see if there's anything different about us now that this crisis has come upon us. But also in verse 11 and in other verses, we see Nebuchadnezzar not only seeing, but seeking. He wants to know what the interpretation of his dream is. And the man who interprets the dream for him, of course, is godly Daniel. Now, over there in verse 26 of the same chapter, it says, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. This is a solemn moment in Nebuchadnezzar's experience. In fact, it is a very compassionate appeal from Daniel, God's servant. And again, folks, at this time, there are those out there who are frightened and bewildered, and they don't know what's going on. And maybe there will be a great opportunity for you and I to speak similar words to them, that they might turn to the Lord. Further on down through the chapter, we have Nebuchadnezzar searching. He was driven out into the fields, and God was dealing in a most astounding way with him, and he had time to think. Many people confined to their homes these days. The things that took up their thoughts and their energies and their time for so long is not there now. And they perhaps will consider, even at this time, we pray that they do, consider things that they've heard in former times and consider the message of the gospel and the Christ of the gospel. In verse 34 of Daniel, we have Nebuchadnezzar, an expression here of his submission. It says here, his understanding returned unto him, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honoured him that liveth forever. And that brings me right up to the verse that we read earlier on, verse 35 in Daniel chapter 4, where the words here that we draw your attention to tonight are these: none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I want to leave with you just for a few moments tonight a word in season from Nebuchadnezzar. It says in our text there, none can stay his hand. The word translated hand there carries the thought of an extended hand. I think it's important to remember that as we consider the message tonight. An extended hand, and a hand in the Bible is very often used to denote some kind of ministry. You will read sometimes about this was done or that was done or that was heard at the hand of the prophets. Well, here we're looking at the hand of the Lord. It also means, when we look there, at the word stay, It literally means to restrain. Who can restrain his extended hand? And who can say unto him, what doest thou? And we ought to take encouragement from those words from Nebuchadnezzar tonight. And I trust that what he said will indeed be a word in season to all of our hearts. We're looking then at God's hand. I want you to notice, first of all, that God's hand is a safe guarding hand. Daniel and his three friends had proved this. Chapter 3 of this book, and in verses 16, 17, and 18, we read there about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had been threatened by Nebuchadnezzar, and they said in verse 16 of Daniel 3, we are not careful, the word meaning to think necessary. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't think it necessary to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You will see here that they're acknowledging that in their circumstances that God is with them, that it may please him to bring them alive out of the burning fiery furnace, but on the other hand, it might not. And that is why we have the words here, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. They're committing the whole thing to the Lord, and they're trusting in him. Over in chapter 6, we have Daniel himself, chapter 6 and verse 16, says there, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. The ruler at that time perhaps was speaking with a great degree of sarcasm as he spoke to Daniel those words. But in verse 17, you will see here that those who placed Daniel in the den of lions, that they were determined to see the end of what he represented. And that, of course, was God and his message and his precepts and his way. It says there, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And if you know anything there of the story, you will know that when they came back to the den of lions, that Daniel was completely unharmed. He had experienced the safe guarding hand of the Lord. The three friends of his who'd been thrown into the fiery furnace, they had experienced God's safe guarding hand as well. You think even of Esther in the book that carries her name. She was seeking out of love for her people to do what she could for them. And going into the king unannounced and unwelcomed and invited was a very dangerous thing in those days. But as she went in, trusting in the Lord, she said these words, if I perish, I perish. That was not fatalism. She believed she was doing that which was the right thing. And brethren and sisters, you and I can still know his safeguarding hand. Remember what we read in this verse 35 in Daniel. Who can stay? Who can restrain his extended hand? And his hand is there as a safeguarding hand in our predicaments. And not only in our predicaments, but with pity. when the Apostle Paul, and I'll give you a second to turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. The first chapter of that epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul here is cataloguing, really, for those that he's writing to, some of his experience. And in verse 8, you can see very clearly that things had not been easy for him. It says there that they were pressed out of measure. The thought there is of being greatly weighed down. And that's how many are today, with worry, care. And not just concerning this virus that is with us at this time, but regarding so many other things as well, to be weighed down. But he says there that we trusted not in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. And then this verse 10 is a great verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And he says, who delivered us from so great, or as it literally means, so terrible a death. Delivered us from so great a death. Where it refers there to so great a death is really referring to God delivering his people from their sin and from the wrath that was abiding upon them. It certainly reminds us all of that. But it is a word that means answer. Really is the answer to death. Who delivered us, or had the answer to so great a death. That is a medical term in the original language, and it was used in medical practice. Someone may come along, even in these days, if we can illustrate it by saying someone come along with an earache or a toothache, and they may go to the doctor, and the doctor could say, well, I prescribed this medicine, here is the answer to your illness. When I was a lot younger, any time I had to go to the doctor with toothaches and earaches, Dr. Edgerton seemed that aspirins were a cure for everything. And she would often tell me that just take two aspirins a certain amount of times per day and you'll be okay. She had the answer to my predicament. And if you were to go even to seek medical help with a broken leg, then you will be taken care of and your situation will be looked at in a medical way, because the medical people will have the answer to your situation. And whenever Paul is writing here, he's saying he had the answer, that is God. He had the answer to so great or so terrible a death. But he goes on to say, who hath delivered us and doth deliver. It's good to remember what God has done for us today, what he's doing for us now, delivering us from snares that we see and those that we don't. But he also says here, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. He will yet deliver. What compassion there is in the mind of the Apostle Paul here. And whatever your circumstances, child of God, whether you need God's assistance physically, or the strain of what's happening right now, or some other circumstance in your life is taking its toll on you mentally, or whether it is emotional strain that you're suffering, remember him who has delivered you. Him who is delivering you right now. But remember him. As we look out and we see an uncertain future and we worry and we naturally are anxious about what lies ahead, it says here, he will yet deliver. Will yet deliver. Let's not forget that we as Christians are in his hand. And when I'm in his hand, so is my future in his hand. We can say the same under God's safeguarding hand. My times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. And just like the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't really know what the outcome is going to be for any of us. But we're trusting him, whatever the outcome is. As we look at this word in season from Nebuchadnezzar, we've not only a thought of God's safeguarding hand, but also of God's supplying hand. There's lots and lots of panic buying going on at the present time. And the pandemic, while it has brought out the best in very, very many people, unfortunately, it has also brought out the worst in some people. And there are those who, well, they're showing a great degree of selfishness, and the self-preservation mode seems to be displayed, and sometimes in a very shameful fashion. But let's not think for a moment that the Lord doesn't know all about what you need and what I need. You think of Elijah long ago. The Lord sent him out to the most unlikely place. He sent him out to the brook Cherith. It was a stream that was prone to run dry at certain times of the year. So he sent him out there and he said to Elijah that the ravens would feed him. And they fed him there, and he got water supply from the brook, and he was there until the brook ran dry. Sometimes when we feel the brook's running dry, we start to panic, we worry, and we think, well, it's been okay until now, but things are changing, and we are made very aware that we're not really in control. But we worship one who is completely in control. And the Lord told Elijah that he would send the ravens to feed him. Now, ravens were unlikely suppliers because they are unclean birds and they were natural scavengers. And yet, in a most remarkable way, our sovereign and almighty God and all-knowing God sent them along to minister to his servant Elijah and to supply his need. I wonder, was Elijah worrying when there was just a trickle left in the brook and then there was nothing? Well, the Lord had prepared another situation for him, and that was the widow of Zarephath. And again, this was a most unlikely supplier for Elijah, because the widow had nothing. And certainly the Bible shows us that she had ever so little. And yet it was her that the Lord used for a time to supply Elijah. You see, it is the Lord's supplying hand that we look to. We could look at Elijah and say, well, Elijah, he needed supplied with groceries, and so he did. And the ravens brought them along for him, and the widow of Zarephath, she provided them for him as well. But when we think of God's supplying hand, Elijah needed the groceries, but very often his people need the grace. And the Apostle Paul, with all of the needs that he had, the Lord told him, and these words always stuck with him, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, the Apostle Paul, we believe, was eventually martyred. But he said God's grace was sufficient for him. And dear folks, especially my good friends in Ackley, I really wish that I could tell you now what the outcome of all of this that we're facing right now is going to be. I can't. I don't know any more than you do. But I know that God's hand is still a supplying hand, and no one can stay his outstretched hand toward his people. You think of James in the prison. James would have been praying, and so would Peter. James was killed. But we must remember that in that extreme situation, God would have given him the grace that he needed. And that grace that Paul got, and that grace that James got, no doubt you and I will receive that grace, because our God is the same God as that of Paul and of James. Remember that sufficient grace is not limited by unusual circumstances or extreme circumstances. Elijah needed the groceries. Paul and James needed the grace. Paul got grace to live. James got grace to die. But every one of us need his attention. I'll give you a moment just to turn to what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 25. We have in this chapter another poor widow woman, one who is vulnerable and doesn't have a great number of people that she can turn to. But she was in the vicinity where the Lord was. And she called out to him in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 12. It says she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." In verse 23, it says he answered her not a word. Now, the Lord was not being hard or inconsiderate. He had not lost his compassion. Things were performed the way they were, in order that we might learn from the situation. But she continued calling to him. Of course, his disciples, with their hardness of heart, told him to send her away. Brethren, we never do that. People are in need. We want to be there for them and to try to help them the very best that we can. But then it says in verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Lord, help me. She got his attention, and now she needed him to do something for her. She needed his help. The prayer was very short. "Lord, help me." But it was very comprehensive. And it is a prayer that you and I can make our own tonight. And with all of our need, not least this pandemic, praying for our families, and those who are our friends, praying for our people in church, praying for the wider community. We can simply call unto God every day and say, "Lord, help me. Help me to be confident in your word, and every day to lean upon it. Help me to be cheerful in living for the Lord in spite of everything that's happening. Help me to be consistent in seeking the Lord in prayer." And folks, that is of vital importance in these days. Remember, here we're looking at God's supplying hand. Elijah needed the groceries. Paul needed living grace. James needed dying grace. And every one of us, just like this poor widow woman, we need his attention. And we all know that if we want to get his attention, we need to call upon him. Could I invite you to turn, please, just for a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles, and it's the 7th chapter, reading verse 13. The Lord is speaking. He says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. Situation in this verse is barrenness. Barrenness because of the locust and no rain and the pestilence. Situation where men didn't know what to do. Not unlike today. And even the most learned are struggling for answers. But in verse 14, there's brokenness. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Now, the word pray there is very interesting. It's a word translated pray, but it means to judge self habitually. And there never was a more urgent time for me to honestly search my heart for envious thoughts, for bitter thoughts, for hate-filled thoughts, for covetous thoughts. To search them all out as I seek the Lord in prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's brokenness implied in this verse, and surely God's people are broken now as we see the barrenness all around us. But let's take encouragement from the verse. If you and I will follow its instruction and will search out our own hearts, remember very often the hindrance to God's blessing can lie with me or it can lie with you, dear believer. And you and I can, we can sin against divine favor and all that God has provided for us. Little did I know when over the years we from time to time said, you know, it's good to come along to the prayer meeting, come along to the meetings on a Sunday, because we never know when we'll not be able to come. And certainly when we said that, we weren't thinking of the pandemic. But nonetheless, it's had the effect of stopping us from coming. Maybe we've sinned against that divine favor in the past. Now's the time to make it all right. And you can do that. And join with us in prayer as we seek Him. We can sin against divine favor, but we can sin against hope that is given. For the Lord has said, you know, we are to humble ourselves and we are to deal with our hearts and we are to pray and we are to turn from our wicked ways, and then He will hear and then He will heal our land. In verse 13, there is the barrenness. Verse 14, there's the brokenness. But in verse 15, there's the thought of blessing. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Surely, folks, now we're at that point where this is what we desperately need. We need God to come and to step into the situations. There may be other situations in your life, and that's what you need too. You need the Lord to come and to step in. God's hand that is extended toward His people and cannot be restrained. It's a safe guarding hand. It's a supplying hand. But it is also, as the text reminds us, it is a staying hand. We have drawn to your attention the fact that the word stay in this verse means to restrain. And we know that no one and nothing can restrain God's hand when it comes to providing for us. But he stays the storm. He stays the storms. The word stay also carries the meaning of smite. So the one who is not restrained, he is able to smite. He is able to stay that which is against us. And now, if never before we are confronted with very limited human ability and the reality of just how weak we really are, remember, folks, he is able. He is able. Look to him in his word. Do it every day. Lean upon the promises of his word and listen to his word. Maybe you've tuned in looking in Facebook and you're not saved and you're fearful. Well, now's the time you need to look to him. His invitation is, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. These days are showing us, showing everyone, that there is none else. You can look away to him today because his hand is a saving hand. And he stretches that hand out in love toward those who will come and trust in the work of Christ on the cross and be washed in his precious blood. Then again, Christian, remember Nehemiah, when he had a great pity and a great love for his homeland, and he wanted to return there. And he was in a difficulty. He had to go to the king and ask for permission to go. And there's a lot of things he needed, and he didn't know whether he was going to receive those things or not. But he came and he said to the people, but he told the people of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And may all of us, as God's people, I'm referring to anyone who's listening, but especially to my dear friends from Ocalee Free Presbyterian Church prayer meeting, may we all be able to say in days to come, tell people of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. I read a little earlier, and this is what it said. O Jesus, let us daily feed and keep the gospel feast. In him is all our souls can need, life, health, and food and rest. I trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts that I've shared with you this evening to your hearts, that they will help you, that this word in season and from Nebuchadnezzar concerning the Lord, who can stay his hand? Or who can say unto him, what doest thou, that they will help you and be a means of sustaining you and encouraging you in days to come. And I trust that as we pray, now from now, round to approximately 9:30 or so, if you can't remain in prayer all of that time, at least spend some of it at the throne of grace. As we do that together, that the Lord will hear. I'll speak to you soon.